Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in. They are the drive. What's going on, boys?
What's up, boys?
Boy cut over there. I see you rocking it. That
shout out
part over there. Look at that
clip. Shout out.
No, that's Sport Clips MVP. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for asking. Yes. They did a great job, by the way.
Priscilla killed it.
Goodness. Great shot. Great job, Priscilla.
All right, Priscilla.
Good, man. Look at you.
Thanks, man. How you guys doing?
Great. We're good, man. We're fired up, excited that they got the Lakers. We obviously spent a ton of time talking about Jonte Porter.
Yes. Yeah. What a story.
Banned from the NBA for what he did to himself betting on games.
Well, did you see the story that came out yesterday? It was yesterday or the day before that he had the FanDuel VIP account in Colorado.
Yeah, we were talking about Action Network.
And we talked about it yesterday. And in the article after article, good news for Jonte. Mm. He never bet on the NBA. And we talked about the story. I said, that's not good news. It's bad news. If he's betting millions of dollars and he doesn't make millions of dollars, there is a dark turn coming to this story, and it's literally the next day he gets banned for life from the NBA.
Where is he getting the money to bet millions of dollars?
That's exactly what we were saying. I was asking the same thing.
Money coming from? And I referenced Shohei and his interpreter. Yeah. Okay, well, this guy, he's never, his career, you said he made a couple million?
$2 million, just $2 million.
So, and this isn't, Shohei's interpreter, you bet with a bookie, that's credit.
Mm-hmm.
FanDuel, DraftKings, BetRivers, you got to have the money beforehand, right? So that's a lot of money that he was betting, and he's not making really that much money to bet at that level. So it's just like, you start thinking, it's like, all right, is there more to this story? And it's the NBA, I just saw on the bottom of the screen here, and it's changing by the hour here.
Yeah.
But the NBA is turning over their investigation or giving their investigation to the federal authorities, whatever that means. You know what I'm saying? So this isn't big anything time. That is just NBA level and like, okay, you're done. Nothing to see here. There's other stuff here, and I don't know if there's criminal charges being filed for fraud or something that you could.
My guess would be criminal. Yes. My guess would be BS. No. Yeah,
because absolutely. Of the amount of money.
Ooh, criminal.
No, because you're messing with the fabric of competition.
Okay.
And when you start doing that, that'd be my guess. I'm not in the criminal justice system, so I don't know what the charge would be. But my guess is absolutely federal charges. That's why you would get the feds involved. And then, and Stoke, you're asking the same question that Phil asked yesterday. It's like, where's all this money coming from? I mean, is it?
And we don't want to put it out there.
No. But
we're all thinking it.
But it would be naive to think. See, his brothers are always around.
Yes.
Jonte and Corbin, they spend a ton of time together. And to think that Michael in any way, shape, or form couldn't be involved, no one's saying he is. But we're just talking it out here as the story is breaking today. To think that there's no way, shape, or form he could possibly be involved is totally naive.
Or
that's
just
all.
Help Bell and his brother out. We've talked about this in the past, Zach, where it's like, hey, your family gets involved, something happens, you can help Bell him out from something. You're going to probably do it. You're going to probably help out. It's just one of them things that nobody wants to talk about because we don't want to put things out there that are not true. But you have to start thinking, like, how is he getting this money?
And nothing's wrong with, loaning your brother money.
No.
Right? So, if he just loaned his brother money, nothing's wrong with that. It's only if he was involved with things that were going on there. But obviously, then you fast forward and look at that, and hopefully nothing is there for him. But then you ask yourself, well, how does this going to affect Michael Porter Jr. On Saturday?
Yes, right? Exactly.
Can he compartmentalize this? Can he move past this? Is he, can't wait to get on the court so he doesn't think about this? But to think that, like, it's not weighing on him at all, that this just happened to his brother, and, all of a sudden, like, are you sleeping as well? Like, this, that's your brother.
Right.
And now, maybe he's going to jail for this. Certainly he's never playing the NBA again.
Never playing.
That's got to impact you on the court at some level.
But how would you go to jail for this, though?
Like, if you got hit with federal charges equal prison. You know, if you're found guilty, and it'll be some low minimum, you know, if you were to game it out in your head and this he would be guilty, then he'd probably go to some, you know, low security prison. But the thing is,
still prison.
It's
Corbin Porter.
Yes.
Killed someone in the middle of the night 13 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And has, like, from my understanding, has been living with Michael and awaiting his sentence. So it's like, dude, this is a lot.
It's messy.
Just as a human being. And by the way, let's turn the coin over as opposed to where did he get all the money? Maybe Michael Porter Jr. had literally nothing to do with, like, had no, maybe Jonte was embarrassed to even share it with him. Their stuff, you know. My brother doesn't know about me and nor me with him, despite talking all the time and being brothers. And so it's sticky, it's messy. But here's a question that I want to ask, and I am totally spitballing here. Legalized gambling started popping up around the country, I don't know, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the states, it was like dominoes, kind of like the legalized marijuana, right? Colorado's first and just all the states, most of them anyway. In football, we have had dozens of players get in trouble. Dozens. None in basketball?
Mm.
None? And I know that's a bigger league with a larger pool of players, but even reduce it down to the whatever ratio it is. This is the first one? This is the question I want to ask. The NBA, more than any other league, maybe in the entire world, views the players as partners.
Mm.
They don't even use the word owners anymore. They're governors. They're viewed as they're together in this. And I wonder if there has been red flags pop up in the past with more household names and they get called, or the principal comes to the hometown and says, hey, dude, there's some stuff here. Knock it off immediately. Yeah. You could face a lifetime ban. And Jonte Porter is the perfect intersection from someone that most fans have never heard of.
Yep.
Never, ever, ever. He's on a two-way, and it's the perfect sacrificial lamb to
example.
Put on the crucifix and say, this is what happens if you're caught. I just think there's so many examples in the NFL and not one in the NBA.
Mm.
I find that strange.
Point. Crazy.
I find that strange where teams have had three guys on a team get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Us in Denver, Indianapolis, Atlanta. I mean, it's just like the list goes
what
on.
What are their rules in the NBA? You know, because some of these players in football, they got in trouble for not betting on football, but betting a different sport at their facility.
Yeah, right in
right?
the facility.
So in the NBA, can they bet on football games at their facility? That's an NFL
rule. I don't know what.
Right?
Interesting, yeah.
That's not like a state rule or a law. That's an NFL rule.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the NBA rule. They might navigate those waters a little bit differently when it comes to gambling. Like, hey, you know, just you can't gamble on basketball. But you can gamble on football, baseball.
Horse racing.
At our facility, it doesn't matter. So I don't know what those rules are there when it comes to the NBA.
It's obviously way different because I'm not a player. But when I was an employee of the Denver Nuggets, I couldn't bet on basketball. And I had to sign a piece of paper that said I wouldn't bet on basketball. And every year at the beginning of the basketball season, I, along with my other coworkers, would take a training class about not betting on sports.
So how much did you bet on basketball, and how did you get away with it?
Well,
for so long.
You know what I didn't do?
It was amazing. It was amazing that you did that. Can you give us some insight on that,
please?
I
didn't risk my $5 bet for my career is what I didn't do.
Because you're a smart guy, Josh.
That's right.
I mean, just unbelievable news, though.
Crazy.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg, because what he was betting, or what he was telling friends to bet, was just over-unders, prop bets.
Yes.
Yeah.
And thought he could get away with it, but, you know, you go from $1,000 to, you know, $80,000 where someone can win $1.1 million.
And that's screenshot. That was that screenshot.
That's
got to
be red flags all over the place.
Do you think his buddies are in trouble?
Yes.
Right? Because they're going to get charged as well with the same sort of
insider info.
My guess would be, yes.
I mean,
it would be some sort of federal charge relating to insider information messing with the fabric of an up-and-up athletic, ordained competition. So it's wild, man. And you know how, I remember the day you said, hey, you said that screenshot, you said they won't let you bet that amount of money, but the VIPs can.
Right.
If you achieve VIP status, they'll let you bet as much as you want.
Which, how do you get to the VIP status?
You bet a ton.
Okay.
You bet a ton.
That's what I figured.
It's the, you spent so much money at our casino.
Yep.
We're going to fly you home private.
Bam.
Here's your card.
You were so kind. We're going to fly you home private. FanDuel. Oh, this guy, you know what? Up his bets. Same with Shohei. You grow to that limit.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You grow your limit. So, and that's a whole nother thing. I still can't.
In this case, he was losing a lot and still getting his stuff to grow.
Stay away from Shohei. You got nothing wrong.
Do you realize the amount bet, what he was making? It was 30% of his income over that time.
Are you serious?
Yep. To think that he did not notice that amount of money is
insane. Yeah, but come on. Listen. 30% of his what income? Of his baseball salary income?
Yes.
Not his endorsements.
Right.
So to think that he doesn't have 10 times that from endorsements in Japan and over here, I would say like, but that was just a drop in the bucket.
Come on,
like,
Caitlin,
a few million here, a few million there.
Caitlin Clark, $75,000 of 25 was missing, even with all her endorsements. Think she would notice?
You're a man that looks at your account every day. I can tell you right now. You know what's missing.
I check my account 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
Seriously. But not Shohei.
Not everyone's like that. No, because you got so much, man. Ball to your phone.
I love it.
Man.
With that, we are off and rolling. It's a rematch with LeBron and the Lakers that the world will be watching. What does our early gut say about the matchup? That's where we'll start. Coming up next. I think your love would be too much, or you'd be left in the dust. It's a rematch with LeBron James and the Lakers that the world will be watching. What does our early gut say about the matchup? I am on the edge of my seat. I cannot wait for this to get started. Could not wait to come in here today and break down we have a busy day.
Yeah.
We have a very busy day. And before we jump off here, the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. Guys, it's back. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. You get two tickets to the game, round trip airfare, two nights hotel, $500. It is a fascinating package, all right? Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from my friends at Sport Clips. Those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, great news. You're already taken care of. You're a part of the club. All right, you're already entered. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future Flyaway contests. Get ready.
Let's get ready.
I am so thrilled that we get a rematch of the Western Conference Finals. LeBron James in the twilight of his career, the Lakers, and everything that comes with that, going head-to-head starting on Saturday night here in Denver, Colorado.
Now, do you think it's the twilight? When you say the twilight of his career, right, what you mean by that? Because I'm thinking of LeBron as like, he's past his prime, but he's still better than everybody past his prime. What's the twilight?
Yeah, nearing the end. Nearing the end.
I think this may be the end.
It could be. It could be. But you got the Bronny James coming in, and by the way, like, he doesn't need to retire. He is still, especially with the proper rest, and we'll talk about how the schedule lines up for that. Yeah. He is still one of the 15 best players in the world, I think.
Mm.
I mean, just last night, dude, he almost had a triple double.
I know.
23-9-9. If a 22-year-old did 23-9-9 in a winner go home game, everyone would be talking about him today. But if LeBron is just like, that's LeBron.
That's just LeBron.
But he's an assist and a rebound away from a triple dub at 40 years old.
That's crazy.
I mean, the guy is it's the longest prime along with Tom Brady. It's the longest prime in the history of sports.
Yeah, look, this Lakers game, it's not what the Lakers wanted, but it's what the whole entire world needed, because we need to be able to go out there, handle business, shut them up again, all right? Have some guy out there say this was just the best blowout wins for the Denver Nuggets, and then for the Lakers, it's the best what?
Best
losses I've ever seen.
You are thinking of Brian Windhorst. That's who you're thinking of. You're thinking of Brian Windhorst saying this.
The Lakers absolutely were terrific in going down in this series. I'm not sure I've seen a more impressive performance in a sweep ever.
I mean, that's where
I've never heard nothing like that.
No, of course you haven't. It's never been uttered. It's never been uttered. And that's a really smart guy, but he's got roots with LeBron. He's got roots going back to, I think Brian Windhorst's like mom was like LeBron's teacher. And it goes, I mean, that was the first case of journalism where I saw where it was like, it was a dedicated reporter for one athlete.
Yeah, that's like, what it was.
Like, Brian, you're going to move to Cleveland, and you're going to cover LeBron. And they have a relationship that's long. So that's what that's I think some crazy part of the history there is.
Brian was there when LeBron was born.
Brian was there when LeBron was born.
He sure was. He was like, what was he, 3 or 4? He was there, you know, taking his little notes, and, you know, he couldn't even read his own scribble, but he was taking some notes.
Clearing the nostrils with that little squeegee thing.
Like changing the diapers.
The chosen one. Well, guess what, man? Guess what? I am not here today to throw shade or dismiss LeBron James.
No, we
can't. This dude is a top 3 player in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
And he does still, on the right nights, he's got the ability to take games over. Enough for Denver? No. But we don't know how this is going to shake out. And you remember the games last year, man. You're talking like outside of one game, every game was so razor thin margins. But I think the Nuggets are going to be just fine. I think they're going to be just fine.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to be really, really close games. I think it's going to come down to big shots, not making those mistakes at the end of the game. And like I've said before, the referees, that's the only thing I get nervous about, all right, with the Lakers, L.A., LeBron, is the referees, especially when you play in L.A., all right? You can't let this be a close game in L.A. and think that the referees are not going to go and feel bad for the LeBron Jameses of the world. We just know that.
So
you got to go at it.
There's something to that. I'm not telling you not to have that thought, but I will tell you don't fear it.
Mm.
Because you want to know what? The Nuggets have beat the Lakers 8 consecutive times.
They have.
And there's been referees out there for all of them. And I'll tell you this. And this is just spur of the moment thought. This Jontae Porter thing.
Yeah.
And the way that people sometimes look at the NBA anyway.
I like where you're going with this.
Because of the history of Tim Donaghy, yes, a crooked official 24 years ago, altering a series that benefited the Los Angeles Lakers against the Sacramento Kings. There is going to be a heightened awareness.
Mm.
Adam Silver, the commissioner, knows the information has been put out there where the Lakers have attempted more threes than in the last 3 years than the second and third team combined. They know all this stuff. I think there's an incredible sensitivity. I'm expecting no funny business at all.
I like it. Hold the referees accountable. And now they can't just go out there and have ghost calls just because they want to have them because of what just happened to Jontae Porter.
Yeah. And so we have a couple days to break down this game. The Lakers have lost 8 in a row to Denver. The Nuggets in the last 15 are 11-4 against the Lakers. All right. And Jokic is just the best version of himself against what on paper is an incredible front court. Anthony Davis, one of the best post defenders in the world. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's a great defender. All NBA yet again this year. He will be. All defense yet again. He will be. Jokic just, he sees through him. And I feel very comfortable right now, but respectfully so. Not arrogantly, just confident.
Oh, you got to have respect. It's LeBron James. It's AD. Of course you got to have respect. But like you said, Zach, I just don't think they have enough for him. If we see Jamal Murray be who we think Jamal is going to be in these playoffs, Jokic is the greatest basketball player in the world right now.
Yep.
Okay? They're not going to be able to mess with us in a 7-game series. Now, I do think they could win at least 2 games, though. I'm going to just put it out there. I don't think they're going to,
yeah,
but they could.
Yeah.
It's one of these kind of weird situations. It's LeBron James. Like you said before, he went for a triple-double. Any given night, if he's just on fire, AD's on fire, it could go their way. It could swing their way. So I could see a scenario where the L.A. Lakers win 2 games, but I don't think they win any more than that.
I think that's the ceiling for them in this series. I think the floor is getting swept. I think the ceiling is the Nuggets winning the series 4-2 and a ceiling from a Lakers lens. We'll see how it all ages here. Okay. I cannot wait to continue to break this down. We have the odds, we have the schedule, we have the spread for game 1. And we will continuously throughout the afternoon revisit this huge story, Lakers Nuggets rematch from the Western Conference Finals a year ago. Cannot wait. All right. Just like that, we are off and rolling on a hump day. Happy Wednesday to you. And a sobering reality came into focus last night that sets the table for the next 2 weeks. That's where we'll head coming up next. A sobering reality came into focus last night. and it sets the table for the next 2 weeks.
Ooh, a sobering reality.
Yeah, I'll get to that here in 10 seconds. But before that, this spring, Phil and I are hitting the streets, taking the show on the road. It's The Drive's Brouhaha. Our first stop is in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden this Friday from 2 to 6. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. Last night, a sobering reality came into focus. The Winnipeg Jets will have home ice advantage against the Colorado Avalanche after beating the Kraken last night.
Mm.
The Avs, like The Drive, they're taking their show on the road, Phil.
I like it. I like it. I hate it, but I like it at the same thing. I love it. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, they're going to have to pack their bags and head out the door.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we were talking about this, probably like 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, pointing out the dynamic of playing home and away and how just jarring it was. Like, how can you be, it was the Jekyll Hyde segment. It was, how can you be this version of yourself here and that version of yourself there?
And a lot of the listeners were mad at us.
What were they saying?
They were like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about home ice.
Yes, it doesn't matter in hockey.
Well, me personally, like, I know it's football and stuff, but I love to play with the home crowd.
Do you like to sleep in your own bed?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love to see my family. Yeah. I don't want to go on the road for 2-3 days because we didn't handle business.
And unfortunately, the Avs simply did not handle enough business this year. And when it's this drastic, and that's what we said at the time as well, to that criticism, where you guys are making a mountain out of a molehill because in hockey it doesn't matter. It's not that it doesn't matter. It might matter less than some other sports, but don't tell me it doesn't matter when you are 39-1 playing in Denver and you are 19-16-6 on the road. That is more time than you got back on a plane after losing than you won. And then at home, you are a juggernaut. I mean, you're 39-1. That's extreme. So it's the task is clear. The challenge is set, and it's going to be a tall one to win four times here over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really is. I'm not feeling as good about this as I was before we kind of had the massacre of getting beat 7-0, and then having Winnipeg come back and Winnipeg dominated.
Yes,
us.
Yes, there you go.
And in the next game,
Vegas
coming back on us, like
3-goal lead in the third.
Those are the two worst ways of losing.
Getting it really
dominated
is.
And then letting somebody come back.
What's worse as a player?
Beat you.
What's worse? Just absolutely getting curb stomped, or I think we can have some examples. Your game against Indianapolis. You guys are up 20-0 at halftime.
Yes.
2018?
2019.
They come back and win. They have four possessions in the second half. They score on all of them.
You know what? That was bad, man.
Is it worse than truly getting your head kicked in?
I would say in that case it was, because Zach, that wasn't the first time that happened. I think that happened to us three times in a row. And at that point, because we were with the Chicago Bears. Remember?
Oh, yes.
He got a field goal.
And Trubisky,
yes,
he was like dead to rights somehow.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
And I think there was another team that did the same thing to us. It was like a nightmare.
Maybe Jacksonville.
It was like deja vu all over again.
Was it Tennessee?
Okay. Okay, I was thinking it was Tennessee. It was one of those things where it's like, how can this continue to happen to us? Now, if you're just getting your head kicked in, I'll have a story with the Jets. We got our heads kicked in 2018 against the Jets that were not a good team. We went there, and we couldn't stop them. I think there was like two rushers went for 100 yards.
Oh, my God.
You remember that game?
Bilal Powell and who's it, like Isaiah Crowell or something?
All you could do is watch and just take it.
You said that was 2018?
2018.
Okay.
See, I refused to take it, though. I was like, you know what? Put my helmet on. Put me in, coach. I'll be a corner.
Yeah, that was a 34-16 loss, and
we scored at the end.
I freaking nailed it. Bilal Powell went for 99 yards, and Isaiah Crowell?
You did.
Okay, he went for 219. The second leading rusher ran for 99.
We're just sitting there watching them, just running down our throat.
Yeah.
Can't do nothing about it. So, to answer your question, Zach, I think that I'd rather just get my head kicked in than be winning the game and look back and you lose.
Yeah, just accept your fate in like middle of the second quarter.
It's like a lower blow like that. Yeah. It really takes the wind out of you.
Yeah. And they both suck. Say, what do you like better, getting punched in the face or kicked in the groin? What's your favorite? What hurts worse?
There are two options you don't want to have.
No. So, I mean, here we go. And then, so there's one more game left in the season. It's tomorrow night against Edmonton. The Oilers don't have anything to play for. The Avs don't have anything to play for. What do you do if you're Bednar? Do you put Anunin out there to try to get some sort of traction under him in case you need him in the second round or in the second round. That's an assumption. You're
having flashbacks to 2022.
Here's I said this yesterday during the crosstalk, and you can save this audio. You will see Justus Anunin in this first. You will see Justus Anunin in the first round series. You'll see him.
Well, with that being said, what you just said right there, and you repeated it again because I was going to bring it up. Yeah, you need to let Anunin go out there and get some time. You know, get ready, because if things go like you thinking they're going to go, and we are going to see Justus Anunin, then you don't want him to go in there with no confidence. Like, hopefully he goes out there and has a shutout tonight, you know?
But what about Georgie's confidence?
You know, at this point, Georgie needs to grow up. He's been playing this whole entire year. All right? He's been playing this whole entire year. Now it's time to go out there and show it. Stand on your head. Ever since he's had that little blow up.
Yeah.
Where he went in there and threw his puck and stuff.
Yeah.
It ain't been good since.
Yeah.
And that's on him.
It is.
You know, and I know he's frustrated with the defense. I'm frustrated with it. I came in here and I was like, are the defender's supposed to let the opposite team behind him and just have free goals? Because that's what it looks like.
Are the defenders allowed to be in front of the net as well? Or can the opposition just pass through that blue area?
Like, are we just supposed to let them do that? That's defense, huh? Okay.
See, I think this is actually a tricky spot. I think it's actually a tricky spot.
What do you want to see?
You know, I actually think, despite me saying you're going to see Anunin in the first round, Georgie's a starter. That guy needs to go out and have some sort of semblance of success. Because the last time we saw Georgie, he had a 3-0 lead in the third period. He led a baby wraparound that Matt Davis wouldn't allow at DU.
Yeah.
All right. And he spiraled. The game before that, he gave up 4 goals in the first period and got yanked. This guy needs to experience a little bit of success before the season's on the line. I don't know if it'll help, but I think that's my answer to your question.
Well, then I would ask you this after you just answered it. What if he goes out there and does the opposite? What if he doesn't have a good game?
Oh, my God.
What if it's like a horrible game, probably one of the most horrible games he's ever had? Then what? What kind of confidence did you instill into Georgiev other than, we're screwed?
Honestly.
Like, I'm not going to let the bleeding continue. I'm going to get a Band-Aid. I'm going to put it on there. I'm just going to hope that Georgiev comes to play, because I'm not going to put him out there right now. I'm not doing it, man. I'm going to let him rest.
Well,
to go out there.
To go with the Band-Aid analogy, if we see this dude continually struggle the way he has been, you need more than a Band-Aid. Band-Aid doesn't fix bullet holes.
We need stitches. Okay?
You say sorry just for show. Live like that, you live with ghosts. That's what Taylor said. But it's not. You don't need a Band-Aid. It's a tourniquet. It's an amputee. This is. We are so far gone. If he goes out there tomorrow night against Edmonton, and if Edmonton plays their dudes, they're a high-powered offense. I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to manufacture optimism. I will be rooting for the Avs like crazy, but I have a terrible feeling in my gut about this team.
I do too.
And that could change within one period, by the way, because when that top line flies around, there's nothing like it. I just don't have a good feeling leading up to the actual games with the season on the line.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're not going to see Georgiev, okay? Because Bednar has kind of, this whole time that Georgiev has not been doing well, Bednar has been saying, I actually think he's doing okay.
Yeah.
I think he's playing okay. Like, there's a reason why he continues to say these things, because he knows Georgiev is going to be his number one goalie.
Yeah.
And that he needs him to have that confidence. And he's smart just like us. I'm not going to put that man out there, even if I think that he could do well. It's that one little chance of him not doing good, and now guess what? We're all messed up. His head, he's a head case. That's what it looks like.
He kind of is. That's what it feels like.
I can't put him out there. I got to, bolster him. I got to make sure he feels like a king, okay? Does he need his feet rubbed? Whatever the case may be, so that he feels ready for this game.
All right. I have a follow-up about Bednar and Georgie, by the way, that I want to bounce off you a little bit later in the show. But in the meantime, as we shift gears, if the Broncos plan on trading Courtland Sutton, how does that impact their approach during the draft? That's where we'll head coming up next.
1, 2 Bring it to the phone. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance.
So back on up. All right, we are rolling here on a Wednesday. And we still have so much to get to. Goodness gracious. What a fun day to come in and do this job. You doing all right, man?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Okay? We're at the top of the hump.
Yes.
We're going to start rolling down.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. If the Broncos plan on trading Courtland Sutton, how does that impact their approach during the draft? Let's go to the first question first. Do you believe the Denver Broncos are planning, making plans, having conversations, and preparing to move on from Courtland Sutton?
Yeah. I mean, at this time, right now, there's not a lot going on. They've already tried to shop him last year to the Baltimore Ravens. They have to have some kind of plan if Courtland Sutton is not in the plan to be here for the whole entire year. And it may even be, Zach, where it's like, hey, we're going to roll with him for a little while, but if we start to lose or Courtland doesn't end up doing some of the things that we want him to do,
yeah,
we're going to trade him before the deadline during the season. So I think there's two plans going on, especially if they don't want to pay him.
Yeah, my guess is they don't want to pay him. My guess is that they are at least creating secession plans, even if they're not like waking up like we got to trade Courtland, but you have to be making just plan B, plan C. If we want to go down this a route, what would it look like? What are we looking for in a potential trade? By the way, what do you think you would get for Courtland Sutton in a potential trade?
I think that one, you'll get more now than you will during the middle of the season. So I think that right now you could possibly, the ceiling of it could be a fourth round.
Yeah, I like that. Round. I agree with that.
If it's during the season and Courtland's doing well, it's still probably going to be a fourth round unless one of these teams is just really desperate for a receiver because they're hurt.
Yeah.
And they're willing to give up a third. I think more likely we're going to see a fifth rounder for someone like Courtland Sutton.
You're probably right. And I do agree with you. And I know maybe some fans out there will say, what? No, a fourth rounder for Courtland? Like, you look at the deal that's in place, but if a team's going to trade for him, they're probably going to extend him and do a new contract. So I agree with you. I think it'd be around a fourth, fifth round pick for Courtland. The question that I have is, if those plans are being laid right now, we haven't talked about wide receiver as a potential draft pick.
We have not.
And we certainly haven't talked about wide receiver as a potential pick in the first round. And you look at the draft, I mean, sometimes like you hear so often, well, this guy's going to be a top 10 pick. And then you end up with 16 guys who people believe are going to be top 10 picks. What if Rome Odunze falls from Washington? Fantastic receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, lights out. This guy is, I saw him comped from a guy I really respect to Larry Fitzgerald. Marvin Harrison's going to likely go in the top five.
Yep.
Malik Nabers, who I think has a chance to be the best receiver from this class. I'm just such a fan of that young man out of LSU. Then Rome Odunze, to think that it's impossible that he, you know, gets gobbled up before 12, I don't think it's impossible at all. I think you could absolutely see him fall. And I'm wondering if that is now on the table, considering the kind of scuttlebutt around Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, see, if we had a quarterback, Zach, that of course is on the table. But we don't have a quarterback, okay? Courtland Sutton, who is our best receiver, was not picked in the first round.
No, second-round guy.
Marvin Mims is a guy that has to come up and play. They picked him in.
Another second-round guy.
Second round.
Yeah.
So I think that they'll be looking for a receiver like third, fourth, fifth. I think they're okay with that. You can find some of your best talent is going to be in the third, fourth, fifth round.
Totally.
You know, Puka.
Yeah, Puka Nacua.
Fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got to go out there. This is when George Payton, Rager.
Yeah.
They have to do their part. This is when they come up big, is finding talent in these later rounds that can possibly be starters when it's time for them to be starters.
Yeah.
So I can't see them picking a receiver in the first round just because we have so many holes to fill. So many holes.
A receiver might be one of them.
I know, but I got to pick a tight end before a receiver, man.
Yeah?
And that's if Brock Bowers is sitting right in front of you.
Let's say it's Brock Bowers. Let's say Brock Bowers is there.
Yeah.
But Rome Odunze falls as well.
It got to go Brock Bowers, man.
Yeah.
Who was throwing Rome Odunze the ball?
Michael Penix Jr.
Okay. He's making people look good.
We're starting early. We're starting early.
I'm just saying, you're throwing it out there. You're trying to start stuff. You're
an
insider.
I'm not. You started that on your
own. Out of every receiver you could have went for, you went for the guy in Washington.
Because that's the one guy in the top three that could fall. Malik Nabers ain't falling the 12th.
Yeah.
And neither is Marvin Harrison Jr. But that's the one guy I question. It's like, again, it's such a great tackle class.
Mm-hmm.
What if Brock Bowers goes to the Giants instead? You know what I mean? Like, you can just start playing that game. And I'm curious. I'll throw it out to the RamosLaw.com text line. If Brock Bowers were there, and it's a position of need, clearly, but Rome Odunze is a true number one wide receiver. I'm just curious what some of our listeners would think. But I think I'm like you. Man, the tight end is just so, if you get the right one.
We've seen it.
If you get the right one, he just does so much for you, man.
He can make an average quarterback look better just because you're dumping the ball off. It's a quicker pass. They're a bigger body. If they block well, they're an extra lineman on the field.
Correct.
Like they're so valuable if you can get you a really good one, which is hard to find, as you said.
Yes, very much so.
You got to take a chance on that if it's not going to be the quarterback position.
Yeah. All right, good conversation. I think it's relevant. We're going to continue to follow the Sutton story. It's I think that this thing is going to get juicy.
You think it's bigger than people think right now?
I think it's going to end up being a big deal, and I think Courtland Sutton's played his last down for the Broncos.
And you said this before, though.
Yeah.
You've said this before, so you're sticking to what you said.
Yeah, I think this is just the cherry on top.
Okay.
So, all right, shifting gears a little bit here. I have a big picture question relating to the Nuggets and Avalanche just days before the playoffs start. And we'll dive into it coming up next.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money.